Cubberty on 2FM with Super Value Travel Insurance. Holidaying at home or abroad? Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance at supervalue.ie.
Now, today we ask a question. Have you ever gone to work thinking to yourself, I am a fraud, I'm a fake, then they're going to see through me and see how little I really know? Is that figuring in your mind ever? Because if so, don't worry, you're not alone, and it seems that it's the highest achievers who are often the ones to worry about this the most. Now, thankfully, we can answer some of these questions because Keith Gaynor is here. He's an old friend of the show at this stage. A young old friend, you know what I mean? It's a metaphorical Keith, no offence. Senior clinical psychologist from St. John of God's Hospital here in Dublin to talk about imposter syndrome. I had never heard about this.
Yeah, so this is something that not many people are aware of, but psychologists have been studying it since 1978. It affects maybe one in five people.
Really?
It's often really successful people, people who are working really hard, but underneath it all, they feel that actually they're not doing any good, and they're only moments away from being found out.
Yeah. The time you hear about this is famous actors or actresses who say, you know what, I'm enjoying my job and I like being on TV or in the movies and so on, but I just feel I'm waiting on a tap on the shoulder to say, you're out.
And that's exactly
where does that come from?
And
that
we're looking at them and going, this is the most successful person in the world. This person has just launched this huge movie. But inside, well, it's an underlying low confidence.
Yeah.
And that's very normal. But unlike normal confidence, the more we do, the more confident we get. For people with imposter syndrome, the more they do, the less confident they get. Because the pressure goes up, they become more successful, the movies become bigger or the job becomes bigger, and they feel there's more and more of a pit they can fall into.
Yeah.
When they just had a little role, it didn't really matter whether they failed or not. Now that they're carrying a whole movie, that they feel like, okay, the whole world is going to collapse when they realise, actually, I'm rubbish.
Yeah, yeah, that's quite intense to feel, actually, I'm rubbish. Because, as you say, everyone around you is saying, well, look, you've got that big job and you've got the house and, you know, obviously you're a very successful person. But this person is thinking, yeah, but I think I'm a joker. I'm a bit of a fake.
A fraud, yeah. So we see this in the clinic all the time. We see it at its end point where somebody may have become depressed or someone may become anxious because of it, but it actually happens to lots of people. And if you go through your office, there's going to be somebody in your office who's going to be feeling it right now.
Right.
And it's that they're working away. They're probably the hardest worker. They're probably the most diligent, but actually underneath it, they're doing all of that because they feel that they are a fraud and they're going to be, if they don't do all of this work, they're going to be found out.
When you talk about these things, do you go back to childhood? Do you go back to a cruel word by a mean person? Where do you start to search for the underlying causes of such a syndrome?
Well, I suppose it's important to say it's not an illness.
Yeah.
So illness. Yeah, it's a psychological issue. So it's not a depression. It's not an anxiety. It's a little like low self-esteem or perfectionism. Okay. It's a psychological issue. It can have a big effect, but it's not an illness. So people don't have to worry about it. And it is something that they can overcome quite easily.
Go on.
Where does it come from? Actually, it probably comes from all of those things that set off any kind of low self-esteem. We become overly perfectionistic, so we only see the 1% we get wrong and not the 99% we get right.
Yeah.
We compare ourselves negatively to everyone else. So we presume that, you know, Ryan is doing fine, Ryan is super confident, he has no problems, it's just me.
Yeah.
I'm the only one who's struggling, I'm the only one who's getting anxious.
If we were to look at the key signs that you might have imposter syndrome, what are we talking about? The triggers that you say, no, that's if you have all these.
So the person will put everything down to luck. If it goes right, it's luck. If it goes badly, it's me. And so anything that's positive, anything they do in work that people praise them for, they get the job, they do the interview, it's pure luck.
Right.
They don't own any of their own success.
Okay, that reminds me of, I think it was Jack Nicklaus, the golfer, who said, I earned all my good luck.
Yeah.
And he's a man who clearly doesn't have this syndrome.
Maybe it's the opposite of that.
He's embracing his success as such and owning it, to use that kind of slightly modern expression. Other things?
They think they don't deserve success. So they think there's something fundamentally about them that means they shouldn't be successful. That they have a flaw, that they have this weakness underneath it, whatever their type of performance is, whether it's an actor or a sportsman or whatever. They feel they're not worthy. So there's that they're not very good or they're not very competent. Everything has to be perfect. And then they doubt their own abilities. So if they have a project they have to get in tomorrow, they even though they may have done this 100 times, they doubt their ability to get it in tomorrow. So if you can imagine with me for a moment.
Yeah, please do.
If we swapped jobs
for
the day. So you went off to the clinic now and you did therapy for the rest of the day.
I'd love to do that. But go on. As the therapist.
As the therapist.
Yeah. As opposed to the
And I had to take your job of doing live radio.
No trouble
for,
to you.
For the next hour.
Yeah.
Well, I would need a cardiologist on the spot, is the first thing to say.
Yeah.
We might get through the day. But at the end of the day, you go, oh, my God, I only got through that by the skin of my teeth.
Yes.
That was just pure luck that we managed that at all.
Yeah.
That's what imposter syndrome feels like.
Okay, for
every day is pure luck that you scraped by, and it was just only by the skin of your teeth that you didn't mess up terribly.
Not a nice feeling, and desperately insecure.
Yeah, exactly. It just breathes this insecurity underneath.
Yeah.
So we can do something really useful today in this radio session, if you like.
Yeah, please.
Everyone with imposter syndrome feels it's just them. It's a secret. They can't go out and tell somebody. If you're low on confidence, or you're a bit anxious, you might tell the colleague at the next desk, I'm really anxious about tomorrow's talk, I'm really anxious about doing this PowerPoint. But imposter syndrome, you can't, because you're afraid of being found out. So there'd be something incredibly useful if anyone who's ever felt this could text into the show.
Yeah.
And this would allow other people out there to realise they're not the only people who feel this.
Good.
That this is actually really common. It's an issue about confidence.
Yes.
And that actually it's very workable with.
Oh, good.
And anyone who knows this knows that they're not alone. It's the first step towards actually overcoming it.
Okay, well, there you are. 51552. Let's hear from those of you who think you may or may not have imposter syndrome and how it works. We're already getting reaction on that, so we'll keep that coming. Is this syndrome, imposter syndrome, something you develop? Or are you born with it? It's a nature-nurture thing, I suppose. Would children feel imposter syndrome even at school at that early? It's a bit young for that, carry on.
It's a bit young. So children may feel anxious, but they don't really have the sense of hierarchy that you get. Really, it happens in the workplaces where we see it most. Mm-hmm. You see it most commonly with women. Though you often see it then with very successful people. So if you're picked out of your job and you suddenly become CEO of a huge, of RTE, you become DG, mm-hmm. and you suddenly have to run the whole show. That's when it kind of emerges, that someone is taken out of their normal job that they're happy ticking along in, and they suddenly feel, I'll never be able to manage at this level.
Yeah. I'm wondering, because, you know, sometimes you might come across the opposite of imposter syndrome. Somebody who's in the job and is utterly incapable, but has such a self-belief that they are...
Oh, we come across that. that's just arrogance and incompetence. That's not unusual at all. That's thankfully, imposter syndrome is much more rare than that.
But that's common enough, that other one.
Well, but in fact, that's much worse.
Yeah, much
worse. The person who doesn't know that they're no use.
Yeah, this person it's dangerous, nearly.
This person is superb.
Yes.
This person is the best person in the office. This person is working away day in, day out, but really diligent. They just don't believe it. It's only tough on them.
And it must be hard to combat it. What are you suggesting people might or might be able to do?
Well, the first thing is to realise that you're not alone. That this is actually
really
common.
Yeah.
The second thing is to realise that this isn't an issue of competence. That you're actually probably really good at your job.
Yeah.
It's an issue of confidence.
Right. Good.
And so you're looking at how to build up confidence over time and not trying to plug in. You don't have to work harder, you just have to work a bit better at building yourself up. One of the things, once you realise you're not alone, it's okay to ask for help. No one is looking out to get you. No one is looking to catch you. It's okay if you don't know how to do something, it's okay to ask the person at the next desk. If you're not sure how to do something, it's okay to bring it to your boss or bring it to your line manager. You have to reward your own successes. So actually pat yourself on the back. When something goes right, you did it. It's not down to luck. It's not down to any other factor. If something went right, then and you were part of it, you did it. People with imposter syndrome, they're terrible. If it's a team effort, well, it was the rest of the team,
right. And
it wasn't me.
I didn't do it.
But actually, as you said, owning their piece of it.
Yeah.
If I did a tenth of that project, I did a tenth of it, and it's a good tenth, and it worked.
Yeah.
Not being a perfectionist. You don't have to get it 100% right. Just if you can get it 90% right, 80% right, 70% right, that's all right.
Yeah.
You're holding on to that actually that bit's correct.
Right.
And that's how you build your confidence. You see the things you're doing right and you build them up slowly over time. And not everything has to go right all the time for you to be perfect.
Yeah, because you, it's like if you treat it like a series of exams, you know, very rarely do you get A's all the time. And a B is not bad, and a C is, you know, you can try a little harder, but you're on the road, and, you know, if you treat it like that.
And exactly, and work, you know, and life isn't an exam. It isn't an end point. Because if you don't get it right this week, you can always get it better for next week and always get it better for the week after. But you have to be willing to build from somewhere.
So practical steps that people can take. I mean, where do you go for the next step after
so
this?
So Amazon is absolutely loaded with books on this.
Okay.
So this isn't a small topic.
Yeah.
This is a huge topic. But you kind of have to look around the business world to see it. So it's a lot of business books and a lot of other guides to how to get through business while feeling like an imposter. So go to Amazon, pick up a book, realize that you're not alone doing this, and start working through the tips they give you to build up on it.
People often talk about writing a diary or keeping a journal. Would you go with that?
Yeah,
getting
absolutely.
Things down on paper?
But what you want people to write down isn't everything. Write down the things they get right.
Okay, so it's a positive journal.
A positive journal. Yeah, yeah. They'll know off by heart the things they've got wrong. These people will never miss a mistake.
Yes.
It's actually, what did you get right this week? What did you get right today? What did you get right in the last hour? So really micro things, because you don't have to wait for the promotion or wait for something huge to happen to do it. You just keep writing down all the small stuff. And you realise at the end of the week, there's 110 things you've done correctly.
Yeah.
And that's where you start, that you have this block of stuff you're doing right.
Accentuate the positive.
Yeah.
Simple.
But in fact, you're accentuating the realistic.
Yes.
You're accentuating the reality, because this is already there.
Yeah.
This is a very easy to work with, because these people, their work is already incredibly solid.
Yeah.
The actual reality is really good.
Okay. Loads of text on this, obviously, Keith. Somebody says, yes, I have imposter syndrome and I've had it in the past. Another says, I'm a stay-at-home mammy, but you've just described exactly how I felt in work when I worked in a bank before I had my children. Another says, I feel like this. I can't believe it's a syndrome. I'm a successful female. I had a promotion a year ago and it's got worse.
Mm-hmm.
That's a perfect sentence, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it.
Got the promotion?
Yeah.
It's got worse.
Yes.
Okay. That man spoke perfectly about the way I feel in work. Graham says, asks, genuine question, is anyone perfect? No insecurities, no anxiety, etc.
No.
Is some people lucky enough to sail through life?
No, none of us are perfect.
No.
The Dalai Lama has a great Twitter feed and he lovely tweets sending out, and you'll see how imperfect the Dalai Lama is.
Okay.
So if it's not working for him, none of us are perfect.
That's very reassuring. Emma says, definitely me. I put any success down to external things and felt very fake. Never realised other people are like this too. So you're exercising getting people to all out there. Yeah. Successful late 30s female. Can't believe the responsibilities I'm given. Always worry about being discovered for fraud. Thank you for this. I'm a nurse, and despite being complimented daily on my work by my patients and thanked by their families, I definitely feel like every day is the day I'm going to be found out. I love my job. I love meeting and caring for people and their families. I'm delighted to hear this discussed in your show. I honestly believed it was just me. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Oh my God, says another, I thought I was the only person who felt like this. I do everything, Keith said. I'm a midwife, sonographer, she clarifies that I scan pregnant women. Thank you for that clarification. I relate to everything Keith is saying. I've had and started great opportunities, but feel so incapable. So I always go back to the idiot-proof job, and then after a while I get bored and frustrated. There's an interesting one, because they're being given all this opportunity to advance and so forth, but they're going, no, I can't go there, because even though I can do it, I don't want to be found out. I go back to the mundane gig.
Yeah, or you even hear in terrible cases of people quitting their job. Say quit their job before they get found out, so to speak.
So they're preemptive. A lot of nurses.
Well,
the nurse is texting him.
I mean, it's going to affect everyone. And I mean, somebody living at home or working from home. It's about responsibility.
More and more to do.
So suddenly you're handed a baby, you're handed a child, and you suddenly go, okay, go mind this. And you realise, I can't do it. I'm a fraud. I'm not able to do this thing that everyone else is able to do.
Ryan, what a life-changing interview this is. It's my story. I ended up having a breakdown 4 years ago over this. I'm listening to this now, not in my stomach. I've given up work because of this, but thank you for highlighting it. Suddenly, less isolated and as I say, it's surmountable.
Yeah,
okay,
absolutely.
Ellen has been on. Feeling very validated listening this morning. Self-employed for the last 15 years, often feel like this, even with very positive feedback from clients all the time. had a very difficult climb this year, and she totally made me doubt myself, which made it even worse. Delighted to hear this item. There is an amazing book called Stoner by John Williams. Mm. Did you read it?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and it's nothing to do with drugs. His name is Stoner. And the character, the key character in this book for this conversation, particularly for psychologists, is Lomax. And Lomax is the guy that in this academic department that works, who is a nasty piece of work and undermines Stoner, who's a fine academic in his own right. But Lomax, and it's funny because we talk about this quite a lot with friends. There's nearly everyone has a Lomax in their office.
Yeah.
The person who's sniping in the corner,
yeah,
undermining.
It gets the little stilettos in.
Dig in.
And it's not about you.
There you go.
It's all about
Lomax.
It's a power
play.
It's a power play. It's about their own anger, and it's about their own anger probably at the office.
Exactly.
Not even the individuals in the office.
Yeah.
But they get the digs in, and they get the digs in. And for people with imposter syndrome, that can be just massively destructive.
Yeah, yeah.
Their self-esteem just plummets.
I know from a lot of people who work in the business that I've been in media, particularly on-air people, presenters or what have you, and you can get 10 tweets. I mean, I used to be on Twitter. You might get 10 tweets, 9 of them saying, great, brilliant, well done. The one. And the one. You take that home. You leave the line in the bin. They don't matter. You take the one home, and it would wreck your buzz for you know, a week or whatever. Thankfully, those days behind me. But I can see other presenters coming up, responding to the one, the Lomax text or tweet. You're just like, what about all those other kind words? Yeah. You know, and that's we're into that there, aren't
you? And you just have to bin it.
Bin it.
If there's 9 good things, you bin the 10th.
Yeah.
Because no one's life is perfect. No one's job is perfect. No job we ever do is going to be perfect.
Yeah.
We have to be okay with being imperfect.
Yeah.
We have to be okay with being just good enough.
Ursula in Limerick says, what the psychologist is saying is are we being good enough? I came across a quote last night that says, don't let perfect destroy good.
Yeah.
Not bad. Now, we'll take a call from Jer, actually. Keith, there's headphones there. Yeah. And pop those on. Hiya, Jer.
Good morning. Hi, how's it going?
Great, thank you. Isn't this an interesting little rock we've lifted?
Honestly, it's just, I'm driving along here and I just pull in, I'm kind of, this is so familiar. It just sounds like me in a nutshell, really, I think.
Why?
Well, I suppose the whole thing of striving for perfection and expecting to be perfect all the time, you know, and just being okay with just getting along, you know, I think that's, and I think the expectation of women nowadays, mothers, working women, professionals, is we have to be brilliant at everything. We have to look amazing in the morning, perform to our highest standard during the day, be the perfect mom with organic food all night and have the kids perfect. You know, I mean, I just think, and I suppose when you get into that cycle, it's actually very hard to come out of it.
Did you feel that way this morning as you were kind of getting your act together to head out?
Well, okay, I'm at a smaller scale now. Go back a year ago, I would have been in that cycle, you know, try to be the perfect manager, the perfect colleague, the perfect everything, get my job done, get the rewards, you know, verbal or financial or whatever. And I just, you know, and it's very hard when you're in that in one element of your life, you seem to carry it through to the way you dress, the way you rear your kids, the way you have the, you know, people perceive your marriage, you know, everything. It's just, I don't know.
And that's the thing about being perfect. We can't let anything go. We can't just be good at something, good at our job and good at raising our kids. We also have to look perfect, have the perfect marriage, have the perfect meal, we keep aiming for smaller and smaller areas of perfection to improve. And it's about stepping back from it. What would be enough?
Yeah, what would be enough?
You know, I don't know. It's like I've always wanted to study more. If I start something new, I want to study that because I want to be really good at that. I can't just enjoy something. I start taking huge ownership of it and want, you know, and I think it's, and like a lot of people I know are like that. You know, I'm just turned 40 and, you know, I suppose I see it starting over again. So maybe I didn't get it right up to now. So now is my chance. So I'm back there on that cycle nearly again, you know, and I even gave up my job, you know, because I felt, you know, I was in the health sector and, you know, we got more and more work to do. And I felt, I'm going to take time out of that because I can't give what they need, you know, because I need to give more at home. And it's just,
Did you ever think you were going to be found out?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. If I don't get this report in or this thing done or whatever. Yeah, it's just kind of, I don't know if it's an insecurity thing or, you know, and I suppose I'm perceived as being very confident. So then people expect me to be in that role all the time that if I'm having, and I could see myself on this downward spiral. So before I got too far, it's time to get off, you know. So it's
Do you feel happier since you stepped out?
Oh yeah, I do, yeah. But I feel I'm reviewing and assessing more the way it was, you know, that it was okay not to actually get that done. And I'm very competitive. So being very competitive as well makes you want to be the best, like the best dressed.
This
the
is
best.
It. That actually, that idea of being the best is poisonous.
Oh, no, I know. I can see
it's okay for sports people. It's okay if you're in a track race. But once we come to real life, there is no best. There's only, well, what's going to make us happy? And when we want to be happy, we need to find balance. We need to find a balance between our work life, between our home life, and actually being calm in ourselves.
Contentment. I always think contentment is the ultimate goal.
Yeah.
You know, and because that covers a multitude.
Oh, contentment is fine. I mean, we can have it. And especially women, we have different cycles. So at certain times, we're a lot more calm than others. And then other times, you know, we have this kind of almost, you know, the insecurities are there. And I suppose that heightens it for me personally anyway. And I think the thing is, and I'm a sports person as well. So yes, it's fine on the pitch. But, you know, when you can't just leave it on the pitch. You have to bring it home because you have to have the competitive elements for your dinner parties for, you know, I mean, it's getting easier, obviously, because I have more time to reflect on it. But I just think a lot of women are caught up in that.
Well, here's a great experiment to go try out. Go do something imperfect. Go throw a really imperfect dinner party.
How do you set out to do that?
So,
oh, God, you ruined my life.
An imperfect dinner party, fish and chips.
Oh, you see what you mean. Okay,
You go and you buy fish and chips instead of doing the beautiful cutlery.
The silver
silver service. Everyone comes around, it's fish and chips. You've bought a block of ice cream from Tesco.
That's my idea of a good party, by the way, Chair.
You go and intentionally do it, but see what happens.
That's a great idea.
Does it all fall apart? Or actually are people more relaxed?
More chilled out.
They enjoy it more? And do you get more from it?
Chair.
Yeah.
Go for
I'm
it.
Here.
Chips. Fish and chips and
a block
of HB with some wafers and say, lads, there you are. If you're not happy here, beat it.
I know. But I suppose, it is all about balance.
You're not going to do it. You just dismissed that idea, right?
No, you discarded that like an old bag of chips. No. I'm on the mindfulness thing now and I'm really practicing mindfulness and meditation, so I'm getting much better, you know. So I'm kind of... But certainly that was an amazing interview this morning because it's a real eye-opener, so thank you for sharing that.
Okay, will you come back to us after you've had your fish and chips party and tell us how you get on?
I'll try.
No!
Okay, so no organic lentils and yeah, okay, we'll go there.
Go for it. See you, Ger.
Okay, cheers, thanks, bye.
51552, Keith Gaynor live in studio talking about what's called imposter syndrome. I can definitely relate to this as a text. I was promoted to ward sister level, here we go, once again at a very young age, probably the youngest ever in a busy Dublin hospital. I was always thinking I'd be found out. I've had several managerial positions over the last few years, but stepped back to non-manager after I had children. Work kept me awake at night worrying about patients and staff and so on. Another, I'm a 40-year-old woman. I have imposter syndrome. I have a senior role in my industry. I meet all my metrics, work hard. I'm meticulous about my work. I give 110% at all times and feel inadequate in work 80% of the time. I'm waiting to be fired a lot of the time and I've had panic attacks as a result. For me, anything less than perfect is a problem. People would never know because I appear on the surface to be incompetent. Or sorry, to be competent. Obviously, an easygoing. I thought this was just me. It's a nightmare because I am my own micromanager. How about that? Mm-hmm. I'll go do a few more, and Keith, you can go have a look at that. I can't believe what I'm hearing. I have been like this all my life. I used to go on holiday every time and was terrified coming back in case they found me out while I was away. I'm another nurse, I feel this way. Another says, this is me as well. I've been working for 18 years. I've always been put forward for promotion. I do the interviews, get offered the job, but I find a reason not to take it because I'm afraid I'm going to get found out. I convince myself it was only luck that got it. Another, this is describing me completely. I would find myself not going for jobs above my current grade because I would feel as though I wouldn't be able. I feel that looking back, it probably started when I did badly in my first leaving certificate. I repeated the leaving and only applied for courses with low points as I didn't think I'd get in anywhere good. The comments regarding being a mum also rang true. I was always told I'd be a great mum and great with kids, but as soon as I had my first son, I felt like an absolute fraud, as though I was just playing at being a mother and not doing a very good job. Well, the confidence deficit here is extraordinary. Yeah.
But also look how capable people are. They're all nurses, solicitors. They're all in offices.
And they're at the top of their game.
They're all the top of their game.
All employable and promotable.
So it's this huge dichotomy about between people who are just superb at what they do, but have belief that they're awful at it. And I have no doubt that that lady who's talking about not being a good enough mum is a phenomenal mum.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Ryan, you've been describing me. I constantly feel like I'm a fraud. I work hard to receive high praise and awards from managers and colleagues, yet I cannot shift this sense that I don't deserve it. I'm always in fear of failure. When I try to show how I'm feeling with others, they're shocked at my self-doubt and how I focus on negatives. I always think others are more competent than me. Sometimes I feel like it's all too much, but I guess this is just the pressure I put on myself. That's me to a T. I'm a qualified female chartered accountant with a great job, but feel like my co-workers know that I'm a fraud and they must wonder how I got the job I'm in. Setting up my own business, so hard going it alone, competing against established companies. I have the experience, relevant qualifications and smarts for it, yet can't help feeling like I'll get exposed as a fraud or won't be seen as credible.
Yeah.
So, as I say, you opened the Pandora's box.
But I hope we've done something useful for people here today. Because each of those people felt like they were alone.
Yeah.
They felt like they were the only person. They were talking about it, feeling this their whole life and thinking that they were the only one. Your inbox is just full
of
these people.
Yeah.
It's full of people who feel like this. They say it's about 1 in 5. It's very hard to know because people keep it a secret. It's this secret shame.
Yeah.
Actually, it's out there and it's just about confidence. It's not about skills. The people have all the skills in the world. They just don't have the confidence.
Yeah.
And if they can work at building up their confidence, there's no reason they can't leave that behind.
Okay, good. Well, that's a really hopeful note on which to leave it. Although I do like the text from Baz saying, fish and chips for dinner followed by a bowl of ice cream. You had me at hello. Keith Gaynor, senior clinical psychologist in John O' God's Hospital here in Dublin. Thanks for your time this morning.
Oh, great,
enjoyed that chat. Thank you.